This is the message from Connection Community Church for Sunday, December 8th, 2024. Christmas Unboxed, the gift of peace.
Well, good morning, Connection Church. My name is Carrie Jones.
I'm Alan Jones.
And we are two sinners who have been saved by the grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Thank you so much for being here today, a day where we can celebrate together the gift that Jesus brings, the gift of himself, Emmanuel, God with us. If this is your first time here, we give you an extra special welcome. Our mission is to connect people with Jesus and the new life he offers. Let's pray. Almighty God, thank you so much for today. It's a day that you've made, a day that we can rejoice and be glad. Thank you for yesterday, where we could make an impact in our community at the Hot Chocolate Outreach and serve warm cups of cocoa to people. Thank you for yesterday, where 40 kids came and hung out with Miss Amy and her team while parents could run errands and have a break. Lord, this is an awesome place that was in your mind's eye so long ago. Thank you for our church and for our church family. And now settle us in right where we are. Those joining us online, Lord, settle them in. Open our hearts that we might be changed and transformed by your love. I pray this in Jesus' mighty name. Everybody agreed and said,
amen.
Amen. Peace. Peace. It's a gift. The gift of peace. Peace has a lot of different definitions. The one that we often think of is like world peace, absence of conflict, absence of war. And I don't remember in my life when that has ever been the case, but that is something that we yearn for, isn't it? Peace. On the other hand, there's another way that we think of peace, and that is like when things are like really, really crazy and, you know, our house is full and or there's hustle bustle, and then it's like, ooh, peace. You know what I'm talking about, where there's just this sense of quiet. We can get that sense of peace too when it's a still night and there's a lot of stars in the sky and it feels peaceful, or when we take a walk and we hear the geese flying across, there's this well-being, this sense of well-being, this sense of peace.
In church world, peace has yet another dimension, different than either of those already mentioned. The Hebrew word for peace is shalom. Say shalom, please. Shalom, shalom. It doesn't mean necessarily a feeling of calm or an absence of conflict. Instead, shalom or peace is the result of right relationships with God, with one another, with oneself, with nature. No longer at war with anyone or anything. Concept of peace, shalom, is wholeness in all of life. In Scripture, if all aren't at peace, none are at peace. It's the entire community. It's not so much an individual thing. Peace is built on the foundations of other spiritual practices, connections, compassion, justice, unity. It is a goal of all spiritual people. Peace is an inner state of well-being and calm, an inner state. It is also an outer project of promoting nonviolence, conflict resolution, cooperation in the world. And as Carrie said, it's a gift. It's a gift because we receive it from God. It's not self-imposed, of course. Even though the gift is given, we must receive it. We must take it in order to realize it.
Our symbol for peace this morning is the dove, and it's the olive branch or the olive leaf. And we read that in the book of Genesis, right? In the beginning of Scripture, it's chapter 8. It's the story of Noah. He, Noah, waited 7 more days and again sent out the dove from the ark. When the dove returned to him in the evening, there in its beak was a freshly plucked olive leaf. Then Noah knew that the water had receded from the earth. That was the end of the flood. And at that point, I'm sure across the time, there was a great sense of peace, at least for the time being.
Speaking of the flood, while researching for this message, I found online where a church, it's called Believers Church, that's a good name, Believers Church out in Warren, Ohio, had done a message entitled, Peace After the Storm. Peace After the Storm. And it brought to mind all the storms of life. You know, there are spiritual storms, those storms between us and God. There are relational storms, those challenges between us and other people. And then there are those emotional storms that we find within ourselves.
A week or so ago, it was late-ish, 10:30 maybe, and there was a storm outside. If you lived in Middletown, I don't know if you remember, but it's kind of weird in the wintertime. You know, I'm seeing this bright light outside, and I'm thinking, is it the garage light across the way? No, it was lightning, and then you hear rumbles of thunder, and then I could hear the wind kicking up and the rain starting, and it just sounded like, uh-oh, and my heart starts pounding a little bit more, and finally that final thunderclap, I mean, it was loud. It was like right inside of our house, right inside the bedroom. Next thing I know, it was pitch black. The lights went out, and even worse,
our Hallmark movie,
the TV shut down. Oh, my goodness. Wow. So it was pitch black, and those kinds of situations, they're completely out of our control. There's absolutely nothing we can do. And at that moment, some peace was disturbed.
Did the movie come back on?
Actually, like 3 hours later, we're asleep and all the lights come on and the TV comes back on. And it's like, oh, good, restoration.
Peace. That's true for the spiritual, relational, emotional storms of life. There's a process for, you already talked about that, didn't you? Oh, I'm sorry. That storm was pretty quick. I lost my place there. That storm was pretty quick. But others aren't. Remember the tornado came through Middletown a couple years ago? See some nods out there? I know Devin lost her roof in that storm. Hopefully you got hunkered down in a safe place. But the trouble with that is then you wonder what damage is happening out there. You know, and you have to wait till it's all over to go out and assess the damage. And then when we assessed it, there were trees down, roofs off, and siding ripped away. We found some peace after the storm as we picked up the pieces, both literally and figuratively, and worked to get things back as they were before the storm. You know, and there, when that happened, there's a step-by-step process to restore peace after the storm.
Well, that's true for us as we take a look at restoring peace spiritually, relationally, and emotionally in those storms of our lives. There's a process for picking up the pieces and finding peace. Peace after the storm. So when we were looking online in preparation for this, this Believer's Church actually offered some insights in this process.
Kind of a step-by-step. And step number one to finding peace after the storm is to embrace hope. Say embrace hope.
Embrace hope.
Embrace hope. And it's the hope we talked about last week. The hope that comes from a relationship with God, a relationship with Jesus Christ, the hope that Christ brings. It's the hope that is a choice to hold on to what God says is true, a hope that all things are possible, a hope that in the midst of the storms of life or after the storms that the damage can be repaired, the hope of continued relationships with God, with others, with self, with nature. The hope that we can realize that peace that Jesus left his disciples with, and in so doing left us with, as he talked with them about life after he was gone. In John 14, this is what we see. Jesus sharing with his disciples before going to the cross. Peace I leave with you. My peace, Jesus says, I give you. I just did a funeral the other day a gravesite, and this is exactly what we shared, that peace that goes past all understanding. I do not give to you as the world gives. Say the last with me, will you?
Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid.
Embracing hope is the first step toward finding peace.
Step two, release anxieties. Oh, that's tough, isn't it? Releasing
anxieties. See a lot of nodding
anxieties.
After on this one.
The Bible does have things to say about that, releasing anxiety. Psalm 55, cast your cares on the Lord, and he will sustain you. He will never let the righteous be shaken. Cast your cares. Release. Give them up. There's another scripture that we use a lot. It's in the book of Philippians. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, and what's the next two words? With thanksgiving. That's hard, isn't it? In our storms of life, to cast our cares on God with thanksgiving? Oh my goodness. Present your requests to God. And so we can kind of boil these scriptures down to a familiar five-word mantra. Some of you might be familiar with it. Let go and what? Let God. Let go and let God.
Let go and let God. Sometimes that goes against our very nature, doesn't it? Let go when things are spinning out of control around us. Let go of the things that are bothering you. Yes, let them go. Release them. Let God handle the things that are bringing you stress, bringing you grief, bringing you anxiety. Give them to God. Yes. That means to do what you can do, but then trust God to do what God does in the situation. You know, we're called to trust God with our very lives, aren't we? And we do trust God with our very lives. When our fists are clenched, we can't receive, can we? We get stuck. Opening our hands is a sign of surrender, release, acceptance. With open hands, we can embrace God's presence, God's provision, God's power, and his peace. Say peace. Peace. Release equals peace. Say that. Release equals peace. Release equals peace.
And so step one is about embracing hope. And step two is releasing anxiety. Step three, it's kind of hard. Accept reality. That's really hard. Accepting reality. We cannot change what has already happened. We cannot change our history. How many times have we hoped for a better past and for that to change? It doesn't. It is what it is. Now, in the case of storms in our life, we can't go back to pre-storm time. I mean, it happened. It happened. It's hard. This is so hard because we yearn for some differences that's happened, for things to have been different, for relationships to have been what they were. We wanted them better. But accepting what was, and I'm not saying, you know, just move ahead, but beginning the journey of healing. That's what is needed. And part of that is accepting reality. Accept what is. It is, you know, if we're driving a car, what's going to happen if I'm looking in the rearview mirror the whole time? I'm going to crash, right? Now, if I'm looking out the front windshield, I see what's right in front of me. I can't see 10 miles down the road. I can't see 2 days down the road, but I can see what's right in front of me. And what's right in front of me is a gift. And so accepting what is and moving on is so important, because today, this moment, is really all we have.
The reality is that many of us are too busy to even get to the end of today. Amen? And then we fall exhausted. God's reality, God's truth, is that He is with us 24/7, and we can experience this gift of peace we talk about today, even in our craziest of days. But it takes reliance, surrender, casting our cares instead of holding on to them. We need to trust God with the reality of each day. It's like, again, Jesus shared with his disciples as he was preparing them for life without him, and in so doing is talking to us as well, John 16:33. I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world, you will have trouble. He doesn't say you may have trouble, you might have trouble, you could have trouble. He says, you will have trouble. But, you know, but's always a turnaround, isn't it? It's a new direction. It's a going this way, going to go this way. You will have trouble, but take heart. Say it with me, I have overcome the world. Jesus is in charge. Yeah. When your reality feels all-consuming, repeat that scripture over and over and over. We'll never change the past, no matter how much we focus on it. I know that for a fact, because I've tried, and I've tried, and I've tried, and I've never once been able to change what happened before. It will not happen. It doesn't change. You know, it's like the prophet Isaiah shared some 2,700 years ago or so, forget the former things. That's good advice. Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past.
So we come to step four, and step four is seek. Seek God. Mm. Seek God. You know, I went to bed last night feeling a little bit heavy and sad, and I woke up this morning feeling a little bit heavy and sad. And I know, Lori, you share this same day with me. It's the day that our dad's passed away. And I'm like, oh my gosh, okay. So, and yeah, it's appropriate to have some sadness. But I tried, and it's working. I seek God. I thank God. I thank God for good things. I'm trying to not remember some of the things that aren't so great. And I praise God that my dad knew Jesus, and they're dancing in heaven with him. Seek God. Seek God when you're feeling overwhelmed. Seek God when you're grieving. Seek God when you're sad. Seek God when there's challenges in your life, in your family, at your work. Seek the kingdom of God above all else. We find this in Luke 12, and he will give you everything you need. You know, the time that we spend anxious or sad or not at peace really could be better spent seeking God by lifting our hearts, by lifting our minds, by depending on the Holy Spirit to carry us. God created you. God loves you. God wants all of us to experience peace. And he sent his Holy Spirit to give us insight and direction and wisdom for different situations. And as we lift our hearts and as we pray, know this: God always answers. And you're thinking, oh no, I've been waiting for this for a long time. God has not answered. Well, the waiting is an answer, because God is in it all. And so as our hearts are hurting or as we're suffering, allow God into that space, because God does some really good work during that time to stretch us and grow us. And his presence is the gift. Seek me and find me. Find me when you will seek me and find me when you seek me with all of your heart. We talked about this last week as we talked about patience, as we patiently wait.
And then we come to step five, to engage life. Engage life. Be an active participant. Finding peace allows us to engage life, and engaging life allows us to find peace. It kind of goes round and round and round, round and round. You know, if we look back at that Isaiah 43, 18 verse and combine it with the next verse, verse 19, we get the picture of engaging life. Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. It's a new day. Yesterday's gone. It's adios. Goodbye. I'm doing a new thing, God says. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I'm making a way in the wilderness. You know, the wilderness. You know, back then, for them, it was the desert. I always think for us, the wilderness is kind of trees and overgrown and stuff, you know, I take a machete and get through. I'm making a way in the wilderness, the Lord says, and streams in the wasteland. You know, wasteland is a deserted place, and there's streams, there's water, there's holy water there to give you nourishment, to give you life in the wasteland. God's saying, let go of the past. Look what I'm doing, a new thing.
God is doing a new thing, but it is so hard to forget. For this slate, for our minds, for our hearts, to just be wiped clean. Some things in my life, some challenges that I really don't want to remember, sometimes come back. But over time, I've learned that I can, okay, for a minute, there it is, it comes, but then automatically I'm going to start quoting scripture. I will fight for you, says the Lord, you only need to be still. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. I am the way, the truth, I am light. I am the bread of life. So I just start repeating the word of God, and you know, those things that occupied my mind and my heart for so long, and I got stuck in, I remember, but they don't have a hold on me anymore. And they don't have to have a hold on you either. Because Satan wants to keep us in that other place. But Jesus wants to lift us out. And when we do, when we're lifted out, it's like we're engaging with the life that Jesus had in his mind when he first thought of us. Engage life.
And so we have embrace, release, accept, seek, engage, E-R-A-S-E, erase. If you take those first letters, erase. In order to find peace, we need to erase. To let go and let God, to forget, to move on. You know, Carrie mentioned Satan a couple minutes ago. Satan's the one that wants us to cling to that past. Satan's the one that won't allow us to let it go because he wants to hold us into those places that we don't want to be held on to. He wants to hold us to those places that give us pain and grief and sorrow. You know, John 10:10, Jesus says this, the thief, Satan, comes to three things, to steal, kill, and destroy. Steal your joy, steal your dreams, kill your joy, destroy your life. That's his only reason for being. And to do that, he wants you to hold on to all that junk that you need to let go of. He loves it when we won't let go. He just loves it to keep us chained to that junk in the past.
But Jesus says, I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. That's a promise. That's God's promise for us. Jesus has a lot of different names: Rock, Redeemer, Waymaker, Truth, Love, Bread of Life, Light of the World. Another name that we identify Jesus with is Prince of Peace. Prince of Peace. We find that name in the 9th chapter of Isaiah. Jesus wants us to have life and have it to the full, and experiencing that peace that only Jesus can bring is what that's all about. We have life and to the full, and we can embrace life when we experience the peace that doesn't even make sense in our circumstance, but we still can experience it. He is the one that John the Baptist talked about when he was saying, "Coming is one greater than me. Prepare the way of the Lord."
As it is written in the book of the words of Isaiah the prophet, "A voice of one calling in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord. Make straight paths for him. Every valley shall be filled in, every mountain and hill made low. The crooked roads shall become straight, the roughs made smooth, the rough ways smooth, and all the people will see God's salvation."
Isn't that a beautiful image? I mean, they talk about the valleys that shall be filled in. We have a lot of valleys in our lives where we go down and it gets darker and darker. The deeper the valley is, it's going to be filled in. There are mountains in our life where it's like, "I don't think I can climb this. I don't think I can get over it." That's going to be gone. He's come to make things right. Crooked roads become straight, rough ways smooth. Shalom, peace. We see peace with nature. There's peace with God. There's peace with others. There's peace in ourselves.
Your peace, it's a gift. It's a gift offered to us by the Prince of Peace, Jesus Christ. But like any gift, it has to be accepted and open to be appreciated. It's a hard gift to open if you're anxious, if you're concerned, if you're worried. The question then is, what do you need to erase this Advent season in order to find peace, in order to find shalom? I love that word. It just feels peaceful when you say shalom. Shalom. Doesn't that give you a sense of peace just saying it? Yeah, what do you need to do? What do you need to let go of to find shalom this Advent season? In order to find peace, are you able to let go and let God? What's it going to take so that you can open your heart, your mind, your spirit for Jesus this Christmas to prepare for the birth of the good news that is for all people, all people? What do you need to release to have enough space to receive the Savior, Christ the Lord? What's it going to take? Let's pray. Most holy God, peace. Sometimes that's easier said than done. Talk about that peace that passes all understanding. And we say that because it doesn't make sense sometimes. In the midst of turmoil and in the midst of grief, in the midst of life situations that are just seemingly impossible, and you tell us to have that peace that passes all understanding. Yet with you that is possible, Lord. With you that's possible. Lord, help us to open ourselves, to open our hands, our hearts, our minds, our spirits to you, Lord, that you would give us that peace this Advent season, that you would help us prepare for the coming of Christ, and that we would know fully the life that he offers. We ask these things in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and all those gathered said, amen.
Thank you for listening to the message from Connection Community Church. For more information and to find out more about our ministries, you can visit us on our website at justshowup.church. You can also call our church offices at 302-378-3000.
7692. Thanks again for listening. Connection Community Church, connecting people to Jesus and the new life he offers.